The crew was jumpy, coursing with adrenaline. There were several zeros in the air, but in the darkness, no one knew where they were. Somewhere in the galaxy of planes, a zero fired on a bomber, which fired back. The zero disappeared. Pillsbury looked to the side and saw yellow dashes of tracer fire heading directly toward them. A B-24 gunner had mistaken them for an enemy plane and was firing on them. Phil saw it just as Pillsbury did and swung the plane away. The firing stopped. The bomb bay doors were stuck open. The motors strained but couldn't budge them. Louis climbed back and looked. When Phil had wrenched the plane out of its dive, the enormous G-forces had nudged the auxiliary fuel tanks out of place, just enough to block the doors. Nothing could be done. With the bomb bay yawning open and dragging against the air, the plane was burning much more fuel than usual. Given that this mission was stretching the plane's range to the limit, it was sobering news. The men could do nothing but wait and hope. They passed around pineapple juice and roast beef sandwiches. Louis was drained, both from the combat and the incessant quivering of the plane. He stared out, sleepy, watching the stars through breaks in the clouds. 75 miles away from Wake, one of the men looked back. He could still see the island burning. As day broke over the Pacific, Brigadier General Howard K. Ramey stood by the Midway airstrip, looking at the clouds and waiting for his bombers. His face was furrowed. A brow of fog hung 200 feet over the ocean, spilling rain. In some places, visibility was down to a few yards. Finding tiny, flat Midway would be difficult, and there was the question of whether the bombers' fuel would last long enough to bring them home. One plane appeared, then another and another. One by one, they landed, all critically low on fuel, one with a dead engine. Superman wasn't in sight. Out in the fog, Phil must have looked at his fuel gauge and known that he was in real trouble. With his bomb bay open and wind howling through the fuselage, he had dragged away most of his fuel and was running on empty. He didn't know if he'd be able to find Midway, and he didn't have enough fuel to make a second pass. At last, at around 8 a.m., he saw Midway dimly through the mist. A moment later, one of Superman's engines sputtered and died. Phil knew that the other engines would quit almost immediately. He nursed the plane along, spotting the runway and aiming for it. The engines kept turning. Phil dropped Superman and touched down. Just after the plane turned off the runway, a second engine died. As it reached its bunker, the other two engines quit. Had the route been only slightly longer, Superman would have hit the ocean. General Ramey ran to each bomber, calling out congratulations. The tired Superman crewmen dropped out of the plane and into a mob of Marines who'd spent a year waiting to deliver retribution to the Japanese for what they had done to their brothers at Wake. The Marines passed out shots of liquor and fêted the airmen.